and welcome to We're Obsessed With, a weekly podcast from Heat Magazine that explains all of the best showbiz of the week and the stories that we're just obsessed with. It comes out every Friday, and if you like what you hear here, the magazine is out now, and Heat Radio is, of course, on 24/7, and heatworld.com is there for your breaking news. But joining me today, I have Heat World's digital lead, Carl Smith.
Hello, Lucy.
Hi. And
hi. What do I call you?
You can call me whatever you like, baby.
Heat's entertainment editor?
Yeah, that'll do.
Joe Parkinson.
Hi. Sounds fancy.
So the first story that we're obsessed with, obviously, is Love Island.
Yeah.
I feel like you should take the lead on this, Carl.
Oh, Lucy, everyone's scrapped all social plans for 7 weeks, I feel.
Well, I just hold my hands up here and just say that as I'm a mother of two and I have a semi-okay social life, I haven't actually watched it yet. And I don't know whether I can dedicate my life to this show because I know once I watch, I'm going to get obsessed.
Well, the thing is, once you miss one episode, you're kind of out of the loop. You miss like a whole relationship cycle that would usually take years in normal life.
It's quite complicated as well. I was trying to explain it to someone who hadn't seen it, and I was like, so they pair off and then like someone can come in and like take someone's boyfriend, but then like another girl can come in. And actually,
it's,
if you miss it, it's really complicated. It's like a really tricky game.
And are they really boyfriend and girlfriend? It's just it's all game playing, yeah?
Well,
that
I mean, it depends on who you're listening to, because there's a couple that are clingy ass.
So do they go in as a couple?
No, they get paired off when they're there.
We're 3 episodes in as we speak. They kind of pair off in episode one, but obviously ITV reality show, a few bombshells coming along the way. Few spanners in the works.
Yeah.
You get new islanders.
Who are sometimes their real boyfriend and girlfriend?
Well, not so far, but you never know, do you?
So there's rumours, isn't there, about John Clark. So one of the girls in it, Chloe, before she went in, her ex-boyfriend, I say that in quotation marks, was John Clark from TOWIE.
Right.
Yep. And he said they were dating for 7 months and he only found out that they'd broken up when she was announced as a contestant on Love Island. But she was like, oh no, we broke up ages ago. But he's been spotted in Spain. So people think that he's going to be coming in as a surprise islander.
See, I actually went over to Love Island last week to the villa. Had a like, little sneaky preview.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous.
It was amazing.
What's the scoop?
The scoop? Well, we spoke to Chloe. She wasn't aware that John had even tweeted any of this stuff. So we were kind of breaking the news to her.
Oh my God.
She was quite stressed about the whole thing. Didn't really seem to know. Because they're obviously like kind of cut off from the rest of the world.
Right.
In a Big Brother style-y.
It's like Big Brother on holiday.
I just essentially what it is. It sounds really, really up my street, but I just cannot. 7 weeks it's on for. And you have to watch it every single night for 7 weeks.
But well,
it's
like there's one day off on the weekend.
Okay.
So that's when you can get your social plans.
Okay.
That's so, when you can see your friends
and kids,
family.
Hey kids, I'm back.
I just feel like I have to. It's the second most talked about thing after the general election, I
know.
Feel.
I would say, I tweeted last night that I've seen my housemates more in the last week than I have in months, and that's because of Love Island.
Because you're all gathered watching it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a social bonding
bringing
thing.
People together.
Okay.
It really is. There's some clingy girls in there and some just quite awful boys.
And so also, Lucy, you've got one of those. You have a sex tape that one of them took part of on your phone?
Not I do me. Believe. It got passed around Jess.
Oh, yeah.
Video of Jess at Surface.
That's going around all the group WhatsApp.
It's the first thing that's on my WhatsApp. Can't open it at work.
So much has happened so far already and we're 3 days in. There's been what was dubbed, Joe, the Great British Snake Off.
Right.
So basically, how do I even narrow this down? So basically, there's a girl in there called Montana and a girl called Jess. When they first arrived in the villa, they realised that actually they've both dated the same guy once before, simultaneously.
Whoa.
To cut a long story short, Montana paired up with this Mancunian guy called Dom. That was all going swimmingly. They were kind of pretty much almost besotted.
Yeah.
Dom Matana, it was dubbed. Then Jess arrives in the villa, steals Dom. History repeats itself all over again.
And wait for that guy that they both dated to get put on the island.
Yeah. And that's pretty,
but
yeah,
then,
it's so
the
gonna
best
happen.
Thing about it is that Montana is playing a bad game because she's been so clingy with Dom, no other boys are going to want to pair up with her and she's going to be left single and be booted out. She's not got the game plan
in her head. That's the fear, isn't it?
Yeah. So watch
part
this
of
space.
Me just says
it's
that
like it's like a Shakespearean play.
Yeah.
Like the backstabbing and the like different twisty political things. It's just fantastic.
It's what we need in this times of darkness.
Absolutely.
We just need some ridiculousness TV.
And the fact that Marcel was in Blazing Squad, not that he's mentioned it approximately a million times.
It's my favourite thing in the world. There's so many memes about him, like, when you've been in Blazing Squad and you haven't mentioned it for 20 seconds. And he's always like, yeah, like, I've just got the weight of Blazing Squad on my shoulders and, like, it follows me around everywhere. And it's like, does anyone remember anyone that was in Blazing Squad?
Apart from Kenzie,
because he slept with Katie Price. That's literally it.
Could anybody name all members of Blazing Squad without Googling? I highly doubt it.
I bet that's a really good question on Pointless. Yeah. Who's a member of Blazing
that's
Squad?
That's like pub quiz, like tiebreaker question.
We now know two members, Marcel and Kenzie.
Marcel.
That's it.
I don't remember him. I was actually around at the time when Blazing Squad were in the charts and I interviewed them numerous times and I've got no idea who Marcel is.
He was Rocky B and then he became Platinum B.
Okay.
I think I've got that right.
From your time on the island, what was the most surprising thing that we maybe don't see? How many cameras
are there? 70 cameras.
70.
They're literally everywhere. Nanny State gone mad. There are 70 cameras. That's three more than last year.
Oh.
They have.
Did you do that maths?
And where are the cameras? I mean, are they like you say, everywhere? So they're in the bathroom, they're in the toilet.
There's one room that doesn't have a camera and that's one of the toilets.
Right. Because from what I hear, they get up to all sorts and it all gets caught on camera and they show it as well.
Yep.
Getting down and down.
Every year they're like, if we have sex on top of the covers, they won't show it on TV. Yeah, they will.
I mean, I think they will. That's exactly what they want. Also, they have Love Island branded condoms.
Stop it. That's hilarious. Yeah.
And is the house full of them?
The house is full of them in kind of really just in bowls.
In bowls.
Thrown around them.
So gross.
Thrown around the villa. There were 200 Love Island condoms.
Wow.
I'm just waiting for someone to come out and.
That's hopeful, isn't it? 200.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for a politician or someone to get involved with this and just go, hang on a minute. This is not morally right.
I'm sure someone is, but the nation just isn't caring.
Who cares?
Yeah. We're tweeting about
and
this.
And there are loads more secrets in this week's issue of Heat Mag.
Yes, full feature.
In all good stockists now.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It is the place to go if you want your Love Island gossip, though. Heat Magazine, Heat Radio, Heat World. No,
Heat World.
Heat World. Yeah.
We've kind of signed our lives away until the end of July.
I'm totally okay with it.
Why not?
On to the next one. Orange is the New Black is out today. If you've downloaded it on Friday, if you're listening to it at some other point, it's already out. I'm sure you've already binged watched all 13 episodes. I know what I'm doing with my weekend. Have you guys seen it?
Well, I was
looking at your face.
She's looking at me and Carla look at each other going, anyway, why am I even on this podcast this week? I've watched series one.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I just can't.
Not enough to carry you over to series two, three, or four.
Over, no, because it's just diving into the backstories and I'm sure it all gets linked up and then it all becomes very clear.
Well, I also kind of fell out of it, but I did rewatch it. But the thing that actually stopped me was that they went deep into the prison system in the US, which is very interesting, but it's also like a bit heavy.
Yeah.
To watch. Have you watched any of it, Carl?
I have, no. Looking at my confession is that I've never seen a single episode. I feel so very out of the loop.
I feel like we're the three like anomalies here because the rest of the world is watching it.
No, I know it's huge. Yeah. I know it's huge. I mean, it's one of those ones that people are talking about and I'm like, oh God, I feel so left out.
I just kind of sit there in any social situation when everyone's talking about it and just kind of, smile and nod.
I always go, it's on my list.
Yeah.
It's my ever-growing list.
Oh, I do need to start.
Oh, my list is so long. Listeners will know this. The last series ended in a very shocking moment. Like, no one saw it coming and it kind of broke the internet. And we chatted to Laverne Cox, who plays Sophia in it, a transgender inmate, and she's been in it from the start. And she said that we're definitely not going to be disappointed with season 5. Well, I mean, we don't really care because we haven't watched it.
I won't be. I have nothing to compare it to.
You're going to be like, whoa, this is great.
To be really real, especially when we got the first episode in via they emailed it to us for this season 5, I was like, because the way last season ended, I was like, I literally dropped everything. I was like, hold up, I got to read this episode because I was just like, oh my God, and you will. But no, I'm a fan of our show, and I was like really, really anxious to see what happens. And it's good. Yeah. It's really, really good. I will tell you.
I love when people
the
do
voice
promo.
Is everything.
Vox Pop makes me want to watch it more than anything. So
do you know what? I've heard so much about it. The characters are incredible. I did really enjoy series one. I don't know why. I'm a bit like that. I half watch Stranger Things.
Yeah, I do
so,
that as well.
And you know, I start watching things, get really into them, and then life takes over.
I did the exact same.
It is really amazing. Because I think before Orange is the New Black, you didn't have any shows that had all women who told really good women stories. And I talked to the cast of this new show, Glow, which is coming out in a couple of weeks, and that is all women as well. And that's from the same creators as Orange is the New Black. And it is just kind of interesting that now there's going to be loads more shows where they're like, oh, definitely, women are interesting, guys. I don't know if you know this.
Sure, God, stop press. Yeah.
But I do feel really sorry when actors have to come and do press for something like Orange is the New Black, where they just can't say anything. And they're like, it's really good, because they just can't. They can't give any spoilers away.
Exactly. It's like, even the actor, the journalist, nobody really wins. It's just kind of...
and like you've been in a room with each other and that's it.
But I like the fact that it has got such a high profile, because actually I remember when it first came to Netflix and we had Jason Biggs and Taylor Schilling come in. And obviously everyone knows who Jason Biggs is because of American Pie. And they came into the Heat office and we took them in and everyone went mental over Jason Biggs. Like, can I have your photograph? And he did this big Team Heat photo.
Yeah.
And Taylor was just kind of stood there like... hello, does anyone want to talk to me? It's no one knew who she was.
Yeah.
Now she's a huge star.
And Jason Biggs isn't in it anymore.
And he's not even in it.
Everyone hated him, so they paid him out.
How the tables have turned.
I know. But so I'm sure there'll be lots of people very excited about that and who will have already watched it by the end of the weekend. So the next big thing that we're obsessed with is George Clooney's twins.
Thank God we're going to talk about this story.
Do you know about this one?
I am obsessed about this story.
This is your time to shine, Jo.
I've been obsessed with the fact that his twins were coming ever since it was announced that George Clooney's actually having children. First of all, he goes and gets married. No one expected that.
Nope.
Then she gets pregnant and what? She's having twins? I mean, it seems too good to be true, but that's enough on that. I love the fact that the twins have arrived and they've called them really traditional names.
I love the names.
Ella Alexander Clooney. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they're kind of now UK residents.
Yeah. Where are they in the home? In
Berkshire, huge mansion in Berkshire. They've actually just had it renovated, I think. They've put... more seats the in the twins. Cinema or something like that.
Two more seats.
Yeah, it's so necessary.
A high chair.
Seats, yeah. And I really love the announcement from his publicity manager saying that the twins have arrived and George had to be sedated. Because, of course, the birth was so intense. We kind of knew they were coming, though, because he didn't attend an award ceremony. Just beforehand, he was going to get a humanitarian award. And he sent a message saying, guys, look, sorry, I would love to be there. But if I was there and my wife gave birth to our twins, I would never come home.
Baby's imminent.
Yeah, priorities.
I think they're going to be incredible parents.
I do as well.
They have a really amazing circle of great people around them.
Who's going to be godfather and godmother?
Matt Damon will definitely be on the list.
It can't be Brad and Ange now, can it?
Brad will be. I think Brad, I don't know whether George ever really liked Angelina.
Ooh, controversial.
Well, but Brad will definitely be involved.
Yeah, for sure.
And they've all been saying how excited they are for George. And Matt Damon said he nearly cried when George told him that he was going to be a dad, because he never expected it either. And George has been really lovely about it, because he'd said, you know, I never thought that this would happen. I never thought, you know, that we would get married, and we have, and children seem to be the obvious next option. And also that he was a bit worried about being a dad, because at such an, you know, he's 56 years old, so is that going to be okay? But he feels
really... looks great.
But
looks
incredible.
Looks 46.
I mean, George Clooney, so what the hell?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Men can be parents whenever they want, that's the thing.
Yeah, they can. That's so true. No one's ever going to criticise an older dad, are
they? Exactly.
Older mums. Anyway, another...
That's a whole other podcast.
But yeah, now he's really comfortable, you know, with the fact that he's an older dad. So I guess we won't see many pictures of them because they're very private. Yeah.
Very private. They're
not going to be doing an okay spread, are they?
There'll be nothing like
that. Jeremy McConnell, Stephanie Davis kind of okay
cover. God. Insta stories.
Yeah. But just really nice news.
It does feel like the perfect family, like perfect husband, perfect wife, one of each. Baby.
Yeah,
like it just seems like the most picture.
Yeah.
Too good to be true.
But it's true, obviously.
But
it's true.
I'm obsessed with her. Like Amal is just amazing, and I do love it whenever some media outlets are like famous lawyer and her actor husband. Like they like go in on the fact that she is incredible,
exactly.
And actually like compared to her, like he's just an actor, and she's just like representing human rights. The biggest courts in Europe.
Yeah, but he also does do his thing outside of, you know, acting. He's so involved in, and you know, he really has met his match with her. I'm not saying, you know, everyone else who he dated was lovely, but they were maybe sort of arm candy. Whereas this is like, we'll meet him intellectually and, you know, in all other areas. So I think it's, yes, lovely.
There are some couples where you're like, what do you talk about when you're just home alone? And I feel like they have great
convo. Totally.
Like Liam and Cheryl, what do they talk about?
Bear, the baby.
Yeah,
that's... Liam's single.
Well, Liam's never at home.
Gold chains.
That's
true.
A whole other story.
He has not been at home, has he? They did give birth in the same place as Liam and Cheryl, though. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Oh. Wonder if it crossed
over. I wonder
over
if they've compared notes.
Definitely a
obviously
different side of the hospital.
Yeah,
like,
obviously not on the baby names. You've got the, you know, the traditional versus.
Yeah.
It's so refreshing to see traditional names. And it makes you just think, well, there's another set of twins coming very soon. Beyonce and Jay-Z's twins will be arriving. I doubt very much they'll have original or like, you know, traditional names.
Yeah. After Blue Ivy, they can't really go like Dave.
Sandra.
I was going to say Dave. I was going to say Dave and Sharon.
Yeah.
I would love if Beyonce had a child named Sharon. That would be my everything.
No, these names are a thing of the past, aren't they? No one's ever going to call their kid Sharon ever again. Or Gary.
Yeah, you don't see a baby called Gary or a baby called Keith. Beyonce can bring it back. Beyonce can bring back those names. It's her duty.
If anyone can.
It's Beyonce.
God, call your kid Keith.
Keith Carter. So the next thing, this week we've got the reboot of The Mummy coming out. It's out this Friday on the podcast. Any fans of the original series?
I didn't mind The Mummy, the first films, but this film has nothing to do with them, really, has it?
No.
It's an action film. It's not... but I thought it wasn't... didn't have that much comedy, because obviously the first Mummy films were quite... there was a lot of the comedy element.
Yeah, I loved the original.
But with Jake Johnson in there, he brings the comedy.
He is the kind of like, you know when they tick a box and they're like, the action guy, the hot girl, the funny guy.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is. Like, that they've just ticked boxes. I feel like a little bit they've got Tom Cruise and they've built a film around him.
Yeah.
It's kind of Mission Impossible, but with, you know, supernatural figures. Basically, he does the stunts, he does everything. So we got to chat to the cast of The Mummy. We didn't get to chat to Tom Cruise. In the film is Annabelle Wallace, who isn't probably a very big household name, but she is dating Chris Martin.
I think she's great. Coldplay. She's in Tweaky Pinders.
Tweaky Pinders.
Peaky Blinders. And I've always loved her from that. And I do love the fact she's dating Chris Martin.
I do, because I know that the Coldplay are, you know, they're a Marmite band, but I love Coldplay and I love Chris Martin. But so when we chatted to her, we had to talk about Tom Cruise, because everyone in this movie is obsessed with Tom Cruise. Like, all the cast in it were like, they could not stop talking about him. And of course, Tom is known for his stunts, if you remember, in Mission Impossible.
He does them all.
And why he wants to jump out of every single plane he sees, I don't really get it. But in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, he jumped out of the Burj Khalifa. You know,
The tallest building in the world.
To over 2,700 feet tall. And he scaled it and jumped out of it. And it's terrifying to watch. So we asked the cast when we met them, kind of like, does he push you to do your own stunts and everything? And this Annabelle told a story about her and Chris Martin on holiday, which I thought was very cute.
I tried to reenact the scene on a stop sign when I was in Dubai and over Christmas. I like climbed at the stop sign, I hit it, and I made my boyfriend take the picture from a low angle. And it looks like... So technically, I've done stunt.
Did you send that picture to Tom Cruise?
I did.
Like, did it too.
I said, guess what? Competition.
Brilliant.
Watch out, Tom.
I know.
So I love the fact that her and Chris Martin are just mucking around on holiday together, and she's recreating scenes from her film that she does with Tom Cruise. And I wonder what her and Chris Martin, you know, when she goes home and talks to Chris Martin about Tom Cruise, because he is just such an enigma, Tom Cruise, I feel.
Yep, absolutely.
Does anyone know the real Tom Cruise?
So, my best friend worked on The Mummy.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, hope she won't mind me telling you this. Tom Cruise is a little bit insane, to say the least.
Oh, God, in what way?
Why? What's the story?
Well, so the whole Scientology thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, the Scientology
Is a real issue, in the sense that he can't have any women touching the light switches in his dressing rooms, anything. It's to do with, like...
The energy.
He won't have any female dressers, any kind of interaction that way. Yeah, just I think that it was
an
interesting character, to say the least.
I don't want to hear this stuff, you know. I love Tom Cruise. I'm a massive, Top Gun, obviously, Days of Thunder, Risky Business. Oh my gosh, there's just so many great films that he's been in. And I'm so excited about American Made as well. Have you seen the trailer for
it? Looks great. Yeah.
And some people were saying, oh God, why did they put Tom Cruise in that role? It could have been a much cooler, younger actor. But I'm like, no, I want to see one of Hollywood's biggest stars, probably like the biggest star in Hollywood, the original movie star, in a role like that. I do want to see it, but I don't want to hear about the weirdness and the Scientology. It's just too much. I can't get my head around
it. You want to separate it, yeah.
I do.
He is one of the original movie stars, I think, that has just consistently kept doing pretty good stuff. Like, you look at Johnny Depp, who's obviously had an issue with his personal life, but his films don't make any money anymore.
Pirates of the Caribbean is a massive money earner.
Yeah.
But that's like, just because it's the franchise.
That's his cash
probably
cow, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, anything else? Can you name another hit of his in the last few years, really?
No.
Genuinely, no.
Murder on the Orient Express is coming up, but that's an all-star cast, and so that's going to be really good.
He is making his living on all-star casts now.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't have to say too many lines.
He isn't the USP, is he?
But I also like the fact that Johnny Depp is real, and you kind of go, okay, yeah, he's got all of these flaws, and he spends $30,000 or dollars on a bottle of wine, and he's like, so what if I do that? It's my thing. And I'm like, good for you, Johnny. Whereas Tom Cruise is like a robot.
When you see interviews, he is a bit robotic.
He is so
robotic. He's an android.
Yeah. But his favourite thing is because it's fun. I like it because it's fun. I love it.
I worry that if he doesn't jump out of a plane like four times a year, he'll just implode. Yeah. Like, it's like short circuit. Yeah. But my friend did say, we were talking about Chris Martin and Annabelle Wallace. They are very cute, apparently. And on set, he would come and meet her. And then there was a bit where they were like waltzing down. When she finished filming, they like waltzed away to her dressing room.
Aww.
Yeah, so cute.
I don't know whether she stole him. That's not true at all. But obviously he was sort of seeing Jennifer Lawrence at the time, wasn't he? On and off. And then all of a sudden he's pictured with Annabelle Wallace.
Yeah. I like her though.
Me too.
I like a good
totally.
Brit. Yeah. And finally, Ed Sheeran's Carpool Karaoke, the latest superstar in the car with James Corden. So I didn't love it.
What?
Oh, really? Why?
But why did you guys love it?
Because it was so feel good. And what astounds me with these Carpool Karaokes is the fact that James Corden knows the words to every single song and he knows them on point. And he knows the harmonies.
That rap from Sing that he did with Ed.
Yeah, wow. That was good.
And Ed was blown away by that. I love the fact that Ed seemed to be having such a great time and was like literally like, I'm really enjoying harmonising my songs with you.
I really feel like James doesn't get enough credit for his singing voice as well. He's actually amazing.
He's so good.
He's as good as most of the people in the car with him.
Especially when he gets someone who's not great at singing in the car.
You know when he's like singing alongside Adele? He totally owns it. And it's like alongside Ed Sheeran. What did Ed Sheeran say? He said something about you smashed it or something like that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you like it?
So I don't love Ed Sheeran, for one. We've had this conversation before. I don't think he's as genuine as he lets on, which kind of bothers me.
Well, no, because he's got his stories that he will reel out.
Yeah. I found the Justin Bieber story a bit like, oh, so I guess I was in Japan with Justin Bieber. I don't know. And then I don't dislike him as a person. I just don't find him that interesting.
Thing is, I feel like when anybody gets so massive, it must actually be quite difficult to stay humble without looking like it's an act. If that makes any sense.
Because people
kind of criticise Adele for it, don't they, as well? And she's like, I think Adele puts it on slightly as well.
Although I heard this amazing story about Adele and the record label that she signed to. When there was a bidding war over Adele for her first album, because everyone knew she was going to be massive. And all the major labels turned up and they were throwing their money on the table.
Yeah.
And she went to XL Recordings, which is a small, tiny label. And they were like, why? And she was like, because Prodigy were on Excel. And I want to be on the same label as the Prodigy.
Amazing.
I love the Prodigy.
That's
and stuff
awesome.
Like that's so real. And I think there is that element to her too.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah,
Ed Sheeran, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that he does reel out these stories. And you hear them on every chat show and you hear them sort of. But I still love him. And I did love this Carpool Karaoke. I thought it was one of the best ones.
I agree.
So heartwarming.
I would say, I listened to an interview with James Corden recently where he said that when he first pitched the idea of Carpool Karaoke, they couldn't get anyone to do it. No one would do it. And then obviously now everyone's like, please let me on it. But he approached Ed Sheeran first and Ed was like, I want to do it and I will do it, but I'm on my hiatus, like I'm on a year off and I just don't want any publicity. So he was down for it from the start. So I think like I do like that, and he was on his word and he came back when he got an album out and everything like
that. It's just the gift that keeps giving. I don't know how, every time I think, how are they going to top this? How are they going to top Harry Styles? How are they going to top Posh
I don't
spice,
think you can. The Harry Styles one is my absolute favourite.
I love the Harry Styles one. I fell in love with him all over again.
I'm watching that. Well and truly on the Harry Styles train.
Who would be your dream Carpool Karaoke
passenger?
Interesting.
Oh. I feel like they're running out.
Yeah. Taylor Swift hasn't done it yet.
Oh, no, Taylor's not done
it. I'd like to see that one because I think it would probably... that she will do that when she comes back because it's such a great way of changing your opinion. Justin Bieber's one was great. I love that.
I'd love to see her actually just spill all the details and, like, be honest. Like, what happened with Tom Hiddleston? What happened with Katy Perry?
Yeah.
Well, Katie's had her say, hasn't she? So maybe when Taylor sits in that passenger seat, she can...
It's the time.
I really love the Stevie Wonder. And that was because he actually made James cry.
Yeah.
And that was really moving. Who would be the ideal? I don't know.
I'd love Little Mix to do it, but that's just my kind of...
I did like it when 1D did it.
Yeah.
But that's mainly just because of Harry. Okay, well, we'll percolate on that. So that is it from us at We're Obsessed With. As you know, this comes out weekly every Friday. And if you like what you hear here, the magazine is out now and you can get that amazing Love Island spread that we were talking about, all the gossip. Heat Radio is on 24/7. And if you want any breaking showbiz stories, you can go to heatworld.com. Bye.
See you later.
See ya.